Wolf, and Luke.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Ron Wolfley.
This is going to make me look kind of freaky.
Luke Lipinski.
The great Luke Lipinski.
You're devaluing the word great if you follow up with Luke Lipinski.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, you heard it in the update right there with Mitch Vareldis. Jaden Daniels coming back to ASU. And so no Spencer Rattler coming to ASU. And I double-checked just to make sure we didn't have like a mass hallucination back in August. Spencer Rattler was the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman Trophy back in August.
Yeah, that is incredible. It really is.
Yeah.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
I hope that kid gets the opportunity to get back on his feet.
I think he will, though. I mean, it's just, it would have been interesting if it was an ASU. And I'm not trying to run Jaden Daniels out of town. I know he didn't have a good year. I hope he bounces back.
I love that kid, man. Listen,
he's easy to root for.
I know that you love Jaden Daniels as well, but I'm serious, man. I was speculating about this a couple of weeks ago. You and I were talking off the air, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I was saying I don't know why he wouldn't come back. Why wouldn't you come back when you had the kind of year that he had? He's got talent going into the year. Boy, there were a lot of NFL scouts. I know this for a fact. They were like, man, can't wait to watch this kid play. At the end of the year, maybe there was a, man.
Not as many scouts.
Maybe going on right there. Exactly right. So, for me, I think this kid's Randall Cunningham, and he's loaded with talent.
Well, I hope they load some talent around him then, if that's the issue. Because you remember his freshman year. That was Kyler Murray's rookie year.
Oh, my goodness.
And you could have a discussion of, like, hey, who's more exciting right now,
absolutely,
Kyler Murray for the Cardinals? Or, I mean, Jaden Daniels was electric his freshman year with the Sun Devils. Last year, kind of a lost year. But, yeah, I mean, to your point, this year was you went out there and lowered your draft stock, so you almost have to come back and try and raise it back up next year.
Yeah, he regressed as a passer, and that was weird to watch.
We talked about this earlier with Lorenzo Alexander, the idea that facing Justin Fields or Andy Dalton might be, you know, quote, better for the Cardinals this week. We don't know for sure who's going to start for the Bears. We do at least know, because originally we were looking at this a week and a half ago. We didn't even know who the Bears' coach was going to be. We know it's still Matt Nagy, so they have their coach, even though apparently fire Nagy chants are breaking out, not just at Bulls games, but at Blackhawks games and obviously Bears games as well. So I'm assuming Nagy's not going to be there much longer. Yeah, how rough would that be if you're like, I got to get away from football. I'm going to go watch this Bulls game, and they're chanting "Fire Nagy."
That's brutal.
The response Lorenzo gave us, and this makes a lot of sense, was, you know, given the makeup of the Bears, where the Cardinals are, he would rather face the quarterback that he knows what he's going to get, Andy Dalton. And I got to agree with that. Just because if everything just kind of plays out the way it's been playing out this season, the Cardinals should win this game. Justin Fields, even though he's prone to making mistakes and he's a rookie, he doesn't have a ton of pieces around him, he's the unknown, Wolf, and you don't need the unknown in this game if you're the Cardinals.
Yeah, I would agree. You don't want the unknown, but at the same time, Justin Fields was struggling and has struggled to actually throw the ball. Now, again, he's an incredible athlete, and I do believe he's going to be an excellent quarterback at some time. I honestly, can I just say this? I said this before, and I'll say it again. I think that this weekend is about the Arizona Cardinals and how they play, period. The Chicago Bears, I've got so much respect for them. I did say this about the Carolina game as well. I want to be transparent on all of this, but I think that was the hiccup we were all waiting for. I don't think we're going to see a hiccup in Chicago. I don't. I don't think we're going to see that. Again, I could be dead wrong on that, but especially with Kyler Murray, I believe, coming back, and DeAndre Hopkins coming back as well. They've got a 6-game run. They got a goal in mind. There's no doubt about it. That goal is the number one seed. They got 6 games to go get it. And it starts in Chicago, coming off of a bye. They've got a lot of guys that I think are going to be healthy, a lot of guys that are going to get better. Isn't that right, Justin Pugh, who's going to be a game-time decision? And I think he'll play. This is just me, pure speculation. But knowing Justin the way that I do, I think he'll play. Max Garcia coming back, Rashard Lawrence. They got guys on the line of scrimmage, and this game is going to be about the line of scrimmage offensively and defensively. Even with all the, oh, look, everybody, it's Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. Justin Fields might be the guy. Who knows? Look at all the talent on the field. David Montgomery, an excellent runner. It's still going to be about the line of scrimmage, especially if it is 48 degrees with a 16-mile-per-hour wind.
Yeah, that wind keeps going
rain.
Up every day. Yeah,
75% chance of rain now on Sunday. You better be able to run the ball. You better be able to control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, or you're doomed.
This is Isaiah Simmons talking about the Cardinals not getting caught up, because you got the Rams. You got the Rams at home next week. I mean, it would be easy to look ahead to that game, but that's not the case, according to Isaiah Simmons.
Honestly, I don't really feel like we've had to – I mean, it's been said a few times, but I don't – you know, you can have that feeling when you think people are kind of looking on to the next week, and I don't feel that. I feel like everybody is just really locked in to, you know, who we got this week and what we got. Got coming in front of us, maybe because we came off a bye week, but I think everybody's just really, really excited just to get back out there this week.
Maybe there's something to that too, right? I mean, you haven't played in a week. Are you really going to come out in your first game, start looking towards your second game? The other thing too, Wolf, and I hesitate to say this because I know you're going to say, oh, it's too early to look at it this way, but maybe it isn't. If the Cardinals take care of business against the Bears and then take care of business against the Rams, you're winning this division. Because you're already two games up on the Rams, and you have the tiebreaker, and I honestly, even if the Rams beat the Cardinals, the tiebreaker wouldn't go away because the Cardinals have a better division record, but they would obviously close the gap. But if you can win the next two games, you're going to be 11-2. At best, the Rams would be 8-5, and you'd have the tiebreaker over them. So there's a lot on the line right out of the gate. Now, I know, to your point, you're playing not just to win this division at this point. You're trying to get the number one seed. It's a free playoff win if you do that. Home field all the way through. But there's six games left. You can't be looking past any of them now.
Yeah. You know, immediately I think of the 49ers. And is there any chance that the 49ers, if they got hot like they are
they
right
are
now.
Hot. They've
exactly.
closed three. They've closed
like
the gap
right
over the Rams in 3 weeks. Three games in 3 weeks. They've closed that gap.
I'm just saying right now. But boy, they've got a schedule here that's. There's some tough games left on this schedule for the 49ers. When you think about it, they're at Seattle. Okay, maybe not tough. At Cincinnati, that's going to be a tough game.
Yeah.
That's going to be a brawl in Cincinnati.
How about Seattle? You can just write them off now almost as not being that tough. It's weird.
I know. It's just, they look done. They look done. Russell Wilson looked done to me. The Atlanta Falcons in week 15, that looks like it could be a win, at least on paper. Week 16 at Tennessee, the Titans, that's going to be a tough game on the road. But then they come back. They've got the Texans. And then the 49ers finish week 18 at L.A., and that's the one you were talking about right there as well. Listen, they've got some tough games left on their schedule, and if they run the table, they got a chance of making some noise in the postseason, but I don't see that happening.
Well, I do think the 49ers will be a playoff team, and if you're talking about them catching the Rams still have, okay, Jacksonville this week, then here against the Cardinals. They host Seattle, they go to Minnesota, they go to Baltimore, and they host San Francisco. So the Rams' schedule down the stretch, not too easy either.
I keep waiting for the Rams to wake up. Wake up.
I'm fine if they don't want to.
I'm right there with you. But I keep waiting to see it. Where's the wake up? And you know where it's going to start? It's going to start on the defensive side of the ball. It's not going to be Matthew Stafford. It's going to be the defensive side of the ball. Isn't that right, Aaron Donald?
I thought you were going to say it's going to start against Jacksonville, because that's where a lot of teams tend to wake up. All right, when we come back, one prominent national media personality says the Lakers aren't only not catching the Suns this season, they're not catching them for years. We'll get into that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
FM, Arizona's sports station. Well-worn blue jeans, crisply pressed slacks. Wolf and Luke.
All All right, so the Suns fans who sort of feel like, hey, we've got the 17-game winning streak. We were in the NBA Finals. We were tied for the best record in the NBA, and we just beat the team we're tied with. Where's the national love for this team? Colin Cowherd, he's on your side right now, and this is Colin Cowherd. And he really did, I don't know if this was intentional or not, he did appeal to the Suns fans twice because he talks about how good the Suns are, and then he talks about how much the Lakers are struggling. So let's start there.
The Lakers are Jurassic and old and outdated and tired. The bench is old. The starters are old. AD's brittle. Westbrook in crisis is a disaster. We have to be honest about this. The Phoenix Suns are the new power in the West.
First time I've heard that nationally.
The Herd. What's up, Herd? Yeah, right now, or honestly, I think we all felt that. After beating Golden State,
yeah.
I think we all kind of felt that right now. Now, again, it's through 21 games of the season, but I look at the longevity. Speaking of longevity, I look at the Phoenix Suns and their roster, and who do you expect to start fading away? Who?
Not anyone. I mean, who would even be a candidate? If somebody said, okay, by the end of the season, this guy kind of dropped off.
What, Devin Booker?
No. You're gonna,
no.
Would it
Chris Paul? No,
no,
I'm sorry. Chris Paul right now looks like Chris Paul from last year.
It would
DeAndre
be
Ayton?
That's what people would say, really? But I don't think he's good. Just because he's been inconsistent, but I don't think he's going to drop off.
I see DeAndre Ayton getting it.
He's getting
better.
The
light bulb has gone on in the shed.
That's the thing. It is just 21 games. Just looking at the Suns side, we'll get to the Lakers in a second, but it's only been 21 games. But really, it's 21 games plus all of last season because this is the same team mostly. And they're not, it's not like, hey, they went on this nice run and maybe, you know, when they rebuild, they'll be able to do that again in 5 years. This is the team. They're getting better, not worse. It's still a young team.
What else you got for me, Herd?
Here's more. This is just focused on the Suns.
Well, defensively, they're long, they're versatile, they're athletic, they have a rim defender, they play 10 guys deep. They've got some veterans, but mostly 7 of their 10 players are in their prime. None of the Lakers' top 10 guys are in their prime. 7 of 10 for Phoenix are. They're a great defensive team. Incredibly deep and versatile. Offensively, they have a Hall of Fame smart point guard. They have a lethal number 2 shooting scoring guard. They have a rim protector. I swear he can guard anybody on the floor, maybe a point guard. They get easy points down low. They're the best clutch team in the league. They're 9-1 in clutch situations, number 1 in the NBA. They have the highest field goal percentage in the league in clutch situations. So they're smart guys who get the ball to the right team. And unlike the Lakers, the Suns love their coach.
Wow, that was a nice shot there at the end.
Oh, my goodness, Colin. I mean, that was a shot over the ball right there. But he's right.
They do.
They do love Monty Williams.
When he's not walking out on the floor during the flow.
Oh, my
game.
Goodness, stop it. That was so funny.
Once they won the game, that was great. That made that game even more memorable.
Yeah.
Had they lost by a point, wouldn't have been so great.
No, remember the game that Monty walked out onto the floor thinking there was a timeout? Yeah. No, you know, honestly, right now, they've got it going. What was the cut you played earlier?
All right, so you can see what he's sort of building to.
Yeah.
The Suns are
okay.
Better than the Lakers, which, again, I don't think LeBron's done. I'm not going to sit here. I do think maybe it's overacting a little bit 21 games in to say, oh, the Lakers, they can't do anything. They could take somebody good out in the playoffs. But the Suns are definitely a much better team. That's not – I don't even think that's debatable. So – here's Colin Cowherd again. He says, yeah, that's not just for this year. How about you go like the next 5 years?
There is a responsibility we have to not try to sell you nonsense. That when the big brands are great, it's good and we like it. But when they're not great, I'm not going to try to pretend they're great. And I'm watching the Phoenix Suns last night. They would sweep the Lakers in 4 games if all 4 games were played in Los Angeles. The Lakers will not catch the Phoenix Suns for the next half decade.
the prediction parts of that, oh, it would be a sweep, oh, the Lakers aren't going to be able to do anything in the next 5 years, I'll set those aside.
Yeah.
But the you watch the Suns, he's saying last night because it's from yesterday, but you watch the Suns against the Warriors and you watch the Lakers against anybody this year, if you honestly, and we said this last week, we said who in their right mind, if you're a Lakers fan, okay, you see your team is the best all the time, that's fine, whatever. But if you are an impartial basketball observer and you know anything about basketball, how can you look at the Suns and look at the Lakers and say, oh, yeah, the Lakers are better.
Yeah.
What makes you think that, and yet they still have better title odds?
Yeah, you know, once again, I think everyone, when you think of the Lakers, what do you think of?
LeBron.
You think of LeBron
and
James.
And he's dangerous. He's still dangerous.
He's averaging 26 points a game. He's still LeBron. He's 36 years old, and he's still LeBron. There's no doubt. But he plays a game that I think is a lot different from Chris Paul, who's also 36 years old. He's a true point guard. Or I think LeBron James is a guy that, again, through the years, he has depended a lot more on being a lot more physical and banging it around. He's built that way to be more physical than a Chris Paul is. But when I hear Colin Cowherd say that for the next half decade, what he's really saying to me is LeBron James's rule over the NBA is over.
We saw in that series with the Suns last year what the Lakers look like if it's just LeBron. And I'll grant LeBron he was probably still a little bit injured or banged up in that series, but you know, whatever.
Pretty much everybody was.
Yeah, I mean,
on both sides.
Yeah, Chris Paul couldn't like move his arm, and he was still finding a way to make plays. So maybe we're at a point where LeBron can't win a series by himself anymore, maybe, against a good team. You know, if you're telling me, hey, first-round matchup, Lakers against, I don't know, just like sort of an average team, you know, Memphis. Right now they would play Utah, but let's say Lakers-Mavericks in the first round. Yeah, I absolutely give the Lakers a chance. Who does Dallas have behind Luka that is going to match up anywhere near what LeBron can do? But if you're telling me, can the Lakers beat Golden State or the Suns in a seven-game series if Anthony Davis isn't out there or if he's banged up or whatever? No, LeBron can't beat those teams, that caliber of team, by himself. And that's not even a knock on LeBron. I don't know that he really ever consistently could beat a team by himself in a best of seven, a great team.
What's so interesting, though, is, again, if you sit there and compare rosters to Colin Cowherd's point, if you compare rosters, look at the youth that these Suns have.
Yeah.
When he's talking about the next half decade, the next 5 years, really? You compare the Lakers to the Suns and where you think they're going to be.
Well, you feel like you know what the Suns are going to be because they're trending in this direction. The Lakers, it's always kind of an oddball because they could just go out there and pluck a star player off another team and hit the reset button real quickly.
Yeah, they could do that. But again, LeBron James. When is LeBron James going to be done? When is LeBron – how far is he going to play till he's 40? I don't know, but I kind of agree. I tend to agree with Colin Cowherd saying that, you know what, the Suns – the Lakers are going to be chasing the Suns for the next half decade.
That's a nice feeling, huh?
And you know what? It's not just – listen, Chris Paul at some point in time, I don't see him playing when he's 40. I don't. That's just me.
We can't – realistically, 41, can't play like this when he's 40 and 41. I mean, he's just taking over games.
You'd almost have to see it to believe it, right? No offense to Chris Paul whatsoever.
No, it's crazy what he's doing now.
It's crazy what he's doing right now, but I honestly think that this would still be a really, really good team now that they've got their culture formed, a really good team 2-3 years from now without Chris Paul.
Well, you can see sort of what Cowherd's saying there of like if you take away the guys that are like mid late 30s because in 5 years they're probably not going to still be playing, or if they are, they're not going to be playing at a high level. Then, you know, the Lakers, their top four scorers are LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook. Carmelo, by the way, has been really good this year. But you take those four guys off that team and you take Chris Paul off the Suns, okay, well, I would miss Chris Paul, but you still have Booker and Bridges and Ayton and all these other pieces. And for the Lakers, it's Talen Horton-Tucker and Malik Monk. They're going to re-up. They're going to bring somebody in. But
yes,
just right now, yeah, it's definitely two teams going in different directions. I still think the Lakers are dangerous. I just don't know. I don't know how you could pick them over the Suns at this point. That's crazy to me. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, it is Thursday. Thursday Night Football tonight, and that game should have an impact on the NFC playoff race. We'll get into that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Great quote from Gronk here on Tom Brady. I don't know if you saw this, Wolf. I think it just popped up. Gronk talking about Brady. He knows already what I'm thinking before I even know what I'm thinking.
That sounds about right.
Which, coming from Gronk, yeah. I don't know, just for some reason, that's funny to me.
It's one of the things I love about Gronk. He does have a modicum of humility. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, no,
he is what he is.
Definitely does not take himself too seriously. The game tonight, there is Thursday Night Football tonight, and it is the New Orleans Saints hosting the Dallas Cowboys. And for New Orleans, you've got Taysom Hill, who's going to play quarterback. Dallas, it looks like they're at least hopeful, to steal some terminology from the Cardinals, that they're getting CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper back. These are two teams that are playoff contenders in the NFC, Wolf. And Dallas, we were talking about them earlier off the air. They've got the offense to be dangerous. It seemed like maybe their defense was getting a little bit better this year with Trevon Diggs and Micah Parsons. Like, you feel like, okay, you've got a team here. But they're still 7-4. They're going the wrong direction. So now I don't know what to think of Dallas.
No, you know what? Honestly, their offense, when they're right with Amari Cooper, of course, and CeeDee Lamb, when they come back, they're right. They're healthy. They have as good an offense, I think, as anybody in the National Football League. Having said that, though, the question has always been on the defensive side of the ball for the Dallas Cowboys. And that's where, yeah, they've gotten better, but they're still in the bottom third in almost every metric you can possibly think of other than sacks per attempt. They get after the quarterback because of Micah Parsons, of course, but when you look at the yards they give up an awful lot of yards on the field, and they do it through the air and on the ground from time to time. So, again, the Cowboys' defense has always been the question mark, and it's the reason why I'm so bullish on the Arizona Cardinals. Because you look at the Arizona Cardinals' offense, it's Super Bowl caliber. But what makes them a Super Bowl contender, to me, is the fact that that defense is elite when it comes to points allowed. And not only that, defensive quarterback rating, which is a huge metric.
It's getting interesting at the top of the NFC now, because for the longest time it was Cardinals, Packers, Buccaneers, Cowboys, Rams. Like, you know, it's going to be one of those teams for sure. And I get that things can change. We're two-thirds of the way through a long NFL season. But it really right now feels like Cardinals, Packers, Buccaneers, one of those three teams could come out of the NFC, you know? And maybe a team gets hot. San Francisco has shot up to number six. Minnesota is eight right now. As I said last week, they're going to be the seventh team, whatever order. It's going to be those top five, San Francisco, Minnesota. I'm going to stick to that all the way to the end. Right now, Washington's actually seventh. But I just don't know that Minnesota or San Francisco, and I'm kind of wondering about Dallas. I don't know that any of those three are legitimate Super Bowl contenders from the NFC, because some of what Dallas is benefiting from is being in that division. And when you're in the playoffs, and I mean, Dallas' path right now, if the playoffs ended, they'd play the Rams in the first round. If they won, they'd play the Cardinals. Then they'd play either Green Bay or Tampa. And Dallas isn't making it through that.
Man, you know what? I want to see that, though.
I know, wouldn't it be fun?
I want to see Dallas actually play the Rams. That's what I'd love to see. How does that happen again, Luke? How does that happen? You just said it.
Yeah, so right now, if the playoffs started right now, Dallas would play the Rams in the first round. Tampa would play San Francisco. Green Bay would play Washington.
Okay, there you go.
And then, I guess, you reseed, so not necessarily guaranteed that the winner of Dallas and the Rams would play the Cardinals, but that's how it would initially be set up, and then you'd have to play Green Bay or Tampa if you got through the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'd love to see that right there, honestly. I keep waiting for the Los Angeles Rams to wake up. I keep waiting for it to settle in, just how talented they are and how tough they were, at least from a year ago. Aren't they remembering that? I wonder what is being said inside that Rams locker room. I do. I wonder what is being said. Who's standing up and who's sitting down? Who's saying something? And again, I'm sure they've had some type of players-only meeting. You want to talk about paying money to actually be in that room and listen to what was being said and by whom. Critical. Because I look at Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, everyone knew how good Matthew Stafford was. He had all the physical tools, all the skill, all the talent. The one question mark about Matthew Stafford was, is he a great leader? He's a good leader. There's no doubt about that. He led the Detroit Lions for a decade. Is he a great leader? What is he? There were people that told me, compared him to Jay Cutler, as a matter of fact.
That's not.
I know. Now listen.
Why would they do that?
Because of his talent. Jay Cutler, you can't find somebody who had a better arm than Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler's arm talent was right there with some of the best players in the world, including Aaron Rodgers. There was something going on inside the brain of Jay Cutler.
Or not a ton.
Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford has got, oh my goodness, does he have arm talent. He is a true talented quarterback and has all the skill you need to win a championship, win a Super Bowl. Is he a Super Bowl leader? That's the question. It always has been. Man, I watch him in some of these big games that the Rams have played, but it's not just him. Granted, it's not just him. It's also the defensive side of the ball, but I have serious question marks about the Rams.
They are certainly the team outside those top three that's like, they could completely fall apart. They could get San Francisco absolutely could catch them. Again, they've made up three games in the last three games, and they always beat the Rams, and they play them in Week 18. San Francisco absolutely could catch the Rams, or the Rams could figure this out, and Von Miller and Aaron Donald on the defense should make them one of the best defenses, and they still could come out of the NFC.
From a talent perspective, I think of the Rams. They're right there. If you told me from a talent perspective they won the Super Bowl, I'd believe that. They're a Super Bowl talented team. There's no doubt about that.
And they have a good coach, too. It's not like they have somebody mismanaging the team.
They got one of my favorite. I love Sean McVay and how he coaches and who he is and goes about his business. I love that. But having said that, man, I'll tell you, if I were a Rams fan, I'd have serious, serious concerns about what I'm seeing.
This is also pretty much New Orleans' last stand here tonight, just because they are trending the wrong direction so badly. And if they win, they're right back in it again. Seven teams make the playoffs, and Sean Payton's a pretty good coach, too, and they have some talent on that team. But they're 0-4 in their last four. And some of those losses, like, okay, you lose to Buffalo. Teams lose to Buffalo.
Wait a minute. Are you saying both teams are a combined 0-7? In the last seven?
Am I saying that? How many games is Dallas won one of those, didn't they?
Oh, no, yeah, duh. No, I'm talking about the Rams.
Oh, yes.
The Rams.
Yeah,
losing three in a row.
Two teams, the Rams and the Saints, haven't won in November.
Yes.
And now it's December.
Think about that.
So the Rams
are two great coaches.
Yeah.
Sean Payton, Sean McVay.
Coming up, we'll react to some Cardinals audio straight from practice. We'll hear from Vance Joseph next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hi, this is Rondell Moore, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Good, good, good. Ball done, touch the ground on air.
Rondell's works really hard. Fun target to throw to. He gets better every day.
I love Rondell, man. Rondell is the most, he's smooth, man, and he don't let a lot of things bother him.
I didn't know the level of just professionalism that he'd bring and toughness, and he's really earned, like I said, the respect of his peers in a short amount of time.
The expectations that I have for myself will always be higher than this guy or whoever.
Here we go!
Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals now.
All right, final segment of the show, and we're in a good spot in this time slot because we get the audio that our guy Tyler Drake sends right over from Cardinals practice. So we always have that that audio like right after it happens.
We're in a great spot because Wolf has his hat backwards.
Well, yeah. That's when you know he's getting down to business.
Love TD.
Well, it's good initials
yeah, right?
To us.
TD.
It's almost like his parents knew. Vance Joseph today was asked, hey, you know, with all these rumors swirling around and, you know, everybody just moving around college football as coaches, is it bad to not hear your name coming up at all?
I'm not sure. It's a week-to-week business, you know. You go from being a genius one week to being the dumbest guy in the entire state the next week. So I don't track it a lot. You know, I just kind of do my job and I see where things go. And I think most coaches feel the same way.
It's so true right there. It's one of the reasons why, as somebody that hires coaches, you have to know, you have to look at the body of work. You just can't look, you can't overreact on any of this stuff. You have to look at the body of work from an individual, and then you also have to look at what he's working with. And I would say last year in particular, the collapse of the defense last year, so much of it had to do with the defensive line and the state of the defensive line.
Yeah.
Remember, all five of their starting rotation, they were out.
That seems like an issue.
Oh, my goodness. You can't even imagine. What are you going to do? You can't hold the line of scrimmage. You tell me what you're going to do.
Here's more from Vance. Going into this game against Chicago in the cold, and you read off the weather forecast before. Every time we look at the forecast, there's a better chance of rain, and the wind is more noticeable. So they asked him, look, are you going to emphasize run defense even more because of the weather conditions?
Absolutely, guys. Every game's different, obviously, but this team's a run-first team. I mean, they're top 10 running offense, so that's got to be part of our plan, you know, to get the run stop. And obviously, if the weather's nasty and wet, I mean, that's where they should go with it, you know, but that's always a part of our plan to take away what they do best.
I like how Vance, a lot of times Vance will say, like, this is what our opponent should be doing this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's gamesmanship or what.
I really don't think so. I think it's rather obvious as to what they're going to do, especially if it is cold and rainy.
This week,
if
yeah.
It is cold and rainy, man.
He's done it
running
a few times,
the ball,
though.
David Montgomery, 5'10 and 225 pounds. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get David Montgomery right in the face. The Arizona Cardinals are going to have to be good at stopping the run. And if they're not, Chicago's got a chance pulling upset.
More from Vance Joseph. They asked him if any players have exceeded his expectations on his defense this year.
I think it's a couple guys, but the first guy I would say is Jalen Thompson. You know, we knew he was going to be a good player, you know, and but this year, I mean, he is definitely growing up. His body's different. He is definitely one of our best communicators out there. And, boy, he can tackle, you know, and his skill set to make open field tackles and also to cover big tight ends and to cover slot receivers with ease. I mean, he makes calling defenses easy. So, I mean, he's one guy, in my opinion, that's took a huge step for us. Last year, we didn't have him but two or three games, and it was different. The Buffalo game last year, I mean, you saw his impact on his defense. And then, I mean, he was out the rest of the season with an ankle. But to have him every week has definitely helped our defense play faster and to keep the big plays to a minimum. That's his specialty.
I'm not trying to say, look at me, look at me, look at me. But last year, Jalen Thompson, when he went down, this team was not the same team when he went down. And it's awesome to think you've got Buda Baker and Jalen Thompson. You are set. You want to talk about being buttoned up in the secondary? They are set in the back end.
I was going to say something profound, and I accidentally just wrote all over myself with this pen, so I feel like my credibility is out
kind
the window.
Of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hoping nobody noticed that.
Did it hurt?
No, it just hurt myself emotionally. Jalen Thompson is the most underrated player on this team because I feel like nationally most people don't really realize who he is. Even if you're going to take the time to look at the Cardinals secondary, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, how are they getting by without Patrick Peterson or Byron Murphy stepping up? But who do they have at safety? Oh, they have Buda Baker. A lot of times they don't look at the second safety, right? Jalen Thompson has been an absolute machine for this team and one of those guys that, like, they're 9-2, not just because of any one guy, not just because of Jalen Thompson, but I feel like if Jalen Thompson wasn't on this team, they wouldn't be 9-2.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know. I really haven't thought about that. I'm just glad he is on the team, Luke. he makes them a lot better. There's no doubt about it. Again, as I said, the back end to be buttoned up. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if your back end is not buttoned up, you can't be creative on the front. You cannot be creative on the front end. You just can't. And this is the strength, I think, of Vance Joseph for the most part, is he is very creative on the front end in the box, especially when you're facing a third and obvious pass situation. He's very, very good at five-man pressures, very good at six-man blitzes or more. He's really good at scheming those, but you can't do that unless you're buttoned up on the back end. To have Buda Baker and Jalen Thompson, two guys that are actually telling everyone else where to line up, man, that is gold in a defensive coordinator's hand, especially one like Vance Joseph.
Real quick, over to the offense. Zach Ertz spoke today, too, and pretty good chance that his quarterback this week is going to be Kyler Murray, but obviously for the last few it was Colt McCoy, so they asked him about the differences.
Just the way that I communicate is going to be different than you. We're talking about the same thing. We're all going to have different mannerisms. We're all just going to have different inflection points when we talk. Everyone is going to communicate a little differently. And it's just how the type of people that they are. It's no fault of one or the other. It's just how they are. And so everyone, you got to learn people's mannerisms. You got to understand how they communicate. Because you can't just, I don't know, fall into a marriage and understand how your wife is communicating with you. I dated Julie for a long time. I've been married for a long time. How I understand how she communicates now is different than it was 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So you just got to learn about the person. And even though they're talking about the same thing, there's going to be different points of emphasis.
He's only played two games with Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, Zach Ertz has been here for a while. He's made plays. He's played two games with Kyler Murray, the Houston game and then the Green Bay game where Kyler got hurt.
He kind of does remind me of Sean McVay, though, a little bit right now. Zach
Ertz.
A little bit of Zach Ertz, kind of.
We could speed
you
that
said
up
that
a little
about,
bit.
Who else? Did you say that about Colt McCoy last week? Did you say that? Or was that me just dreaming that he kind of sounded like Sean McVay?
I was not involved in this one. Everybody starts to sound Zach like Sean Ertz? McVay 4 hours into the show. I can tell you that.
It's so true right there, but I think there's a little Sean McVay in Zach Ertz.
It's going to be interesting to see. That's another area that the Cardinals could feasibly unlock. Kyler comes back, gets in the rhythm with the offense. What can Kyler Murray and Zach Ertz do together? Because they really have only played those two games, and they were the first two games, too, for Zach Ertz, mid-season, and they already made the biggest play in Zach Ertz's career. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Aaron Maloney for producing the show, Jesse Morrison behind the glass for Wolf. I'm Luke. We got Burns and Gambo coming up next right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.